I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more. Commander Shepards, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom or Robots. I'm here with Sam and Seven the Legend. Sam, excuse me, I think I just burped up some flavored water. It's very orange. It's actually vanilla tangerine, but it looks very orange on the screen right now.
Fancy.
Yeah, sorry about that that burpage, but I'm going to keep that in there because burps are healthy. If you're not getting total that gas out of your system, then, man, you're having problems. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm good. I don't have any reflux right now, so I'm fantastic. But I do get reflux a lot, and I feel like it's happening more and more frequently as I get older.
You're getting old. It's for me, it was like too much like sweets. Like sweets gives me kind of that stomach thing. Like for some reason, doesn't sit well.
For me, I think it's dairy.
Is it? And, well, that's different.
Deep fried foods.
Fried will definitely do it. Dairy sounds like you're lactose intolerant. I'm lactose intolerant.
I lactose and tolerance. Yeah.
There you go. Well, hey, welcome back, everybody. We teased it on the last episode. We're talking about romancing Hackett today.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. We normally don't give characters more than two episodes, but it seems like this is a special occasion. So did you say you heard something about there being signs of a cut? Hackett Shepard. Yeah, I just joined them together. A Hackett Shepard. Romance?
Okay, so going from talking about how Hackett could be Shepard's dad to this has got to be the worst secretary in the history of video game podcasting.
Yeah, because we're treading some really weird boundaries here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last episode was, is Hackett Shepard's dad? Now we're like, is Hackett Shepard's secret lover?
Well, is Hackett Shepard's daddy?
Oh no.
Yeah, that's kind of where we went, huh?
That is exactly where we went, and I don't like it. So we're gonna get through this. Basically, it was brought to my attention recently by a listener of this show that they think there's some unwritten, unsaid sexual tension between the commander and the admiral.
Oh boy.
Yeah. They think there's some flirtation going on between FemShep and Hackett. And I wanted to cover this because it was interesting enough to me that I don't think it's going to be covered anywhere else.
Like, I don't think it will be. I think you're right.
Any other Mass Effect content creator or even, you know, the Two Girls, One Ship podcast on video game romances, I mean, they tend to cover romances that are established, right?
They're like actually in the games for sure, not a individual's perspective on what flirting might or might not look like, which is vague to be sure, because some people just don't read that stuff at all. Some people are not very good at sending signs, you know, like there's a lot of subjectivity to that. Absolutely.
Right. So there's basically, yeah, it's very subjective. And here's what part of the message that was sent to me said. Hackett's facial gestures, looks, and eyes are actually much different than when he chats with male ship. So when Hackett chats with FemShep, the gestures, the way that Hackett's looking at FemShep and his eyes are different. I'm on my first FemShep playthrough right now. I'm in Mass Effect 2, so I haven't, you know, had conversations face to face with Hackett yet. Right. So I don't know about this one. Okay, I can't verify it.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think through this because most of the time I will play a female ship. I rarely play the male ship. I prefer the voice acting. And oftentimes I just like being a female character. We've talked about this before where I get to be somebody very different than myself. And I like that. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't think that was something I was looking to see if existed. Like, I would assume from a programming standpoint, you're not going to put that in there unless it's intentional, because it takes a lot of extra work. And so the default would be to just make Hackett in each of those scenes the same and just change out the lead character, whichever Shepard you have, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I can't speak on that, right? Because I haven't seen those scenes with Fim Shep yet. So yeah. I don't know whether or not this is actually different.
Yeah.
Or whether it's wishful thinking.
I also don't know that I would have noted. Like, I've seen them, but I don't know that I like, without thinking to look, I wouldn't have just noticed. I don't think.
Right. And you know, I'm going to be honest, at first, this entire thought made me kind of recoil. Because I've never considered it. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's my boss, kind of, and he's like old.
Yeah, no, like we mentioned this on the last episode. Like, he's not the first person in the game, whether I'm playing as male Shep or female Shep, that I think of as like, oh, look at that hottie. Maybe, what are they doing tonight? You know, maybe we can get together. Like, yeah, I've never put Hackett in that kind of position.
Right. But then, you know, like, I also think, this is an RPG, right? It's a role-playing game. So you are a Shepherd. And as I've found out since we started this show, there are fans and listeners of this show and fans of the games who are all different ages and all, you know, all Absolutely. Shapes, sizes, ages, you name it.
Preferences of all sorts of
preferences.
Yeah. Yeah. Humans are very diverse.
Right. And so I think if there's someone who's like, you know, older maybe and more similar in age to Hackett, it makes sense why you'd be attracted to Hackett.
Oh, sure. Oh, totally. I mean, he's a very take charge kind of guy, especially if you're the kind of person who's more drawn towards personalities than looks, which we tend to all be once we get to know people more. So if you feel very familiar with him because you played the game a lot, you might actually feel more of that over time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Maybe it's a headcanon that kind of grows on someone. I'm not sure. But then I also realized, you know, like we discussed before, Hackett isn't that old. Hackett's not as old as you would think Hackett is. He's only a few years older than Anderson. He's like 52.
Yeah.
By Mass Effect 3. And by Mass Effect 3, Shepard's about 32.
Right. Absolutely. Parent-child difference in age, potentially, like we mentioned on the last episode. But yeah.
20-year difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is this 52 to 32, 20 year difference is huge. If you're like 32 to 12, mm-hmm. also illegal and definitely frowned upon and should be. But, yes. By the time you get to like 52, 32, this kind of relationship while abnormal does happen.
Oh, it's totally possible by that point. As you get older, there's less of a difference in how much age plays a role in your life experience.
Right.
It's something I've, like, my wife is like 7 years younger than I am. And when we were dating, like, and she was like in her early 20s and I was in my late 20s, that felt like a much bigger difference than it does now, which is like, you know, a decade later. That difference shrinks over time.
Yeah. The maturity gap narrows. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but still, even still 20 years would be enough of a difference that it would be frowned upon. Probably. I don't know though, because this is in the future too. Right. So the life expectancy is in like the 150s, right? For humanity, something like that. They say that, you know, humanity is lucky to get to 150. So it's much older, even though Hackett looks like he's way older than 52.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even by our standards.
He's been through some stuff, man.
Yeah. He's gone through the dirt and gotten all muddy like a Chevy. And
I can rock.
But you know, maybe this is more normal in the future when human lifespans are 50% longer. What's 20-year difference?
That's true. That could be different. That could be a thing as well. Not that this is any justification, is that age difference was much more common in the past as well.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, it's not a deal breaker. The difference between a 52 and a 32-year-old being in a relationship like that, especially if there's, you know, something legitimately there. I mean, there's nothing about that says like, oh, come on, that's unrealistic, you know?
Right. Well, the only thing that would be unrealistic is the military aspect, you know,
right.
With Hackett being the top of the Alliance Navy.
And right. Shepard, but not a personal unrealistic. It's just a situational unrealistic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would still be like, I mean, I just want to back this up again and say that I still don't like, I personally have not seen any evidence in the games that would indicate that Shepard was getting hit on or Shepard was hitting on Hackett. But the interesting thing about Age, though, I've heard more than a few people say that they'd romance Dr. Chakwas, if possible.
Okay.
Which is interesting. She's also graying. You know, she's got the dignified gray look.
How old is she? I got to look this up while we talk.
I looked it up. I'll okay. save you the trip.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Oh, no.
We don't know how old she is, but given her experience, she's probably similar in age to Hackett and Anderson.
Right. Right.
Because of the tours of duty that she's been on when she started serving, she's probably similar in age.
Yeah.
And she's also reached the rank of major.
Graying hair, but that doesn't mean anything. Some people gray in their 30s, you know, like,
right.
You don't really
right.
know.
She's got the attractive.
She looks good for her age, whatever that age is. Like, yeah.
She's got the attractive older lady aspect, like Helen Mirren, you know.
Yeah, totally.
You know who, I can't remember the actor's name right now, but did you ever watch Sex Education on Netflix?
No, I haven't watched.
Okay,
this, no.
Well, maybe our listeners will know, but the mom in Sex Education, mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of Chakwas. At any rate, I've heard more than a few people mention that they would romance
Gillian Anderson.
They would,
okay,
yeah. That they would romance Dr. Chakwas if given the opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, MILF is a thing for a reason, right?
But why is this okay? Like, I've never heard anyone of wanting to romance Anderson or Hackett. So, and I think that there's a visceral reaction from the community. Everyone that I've spoken with, it seems like.
I think you make a good point there. They are both like commanding officers, and that automatically puts up a certain wall where I think most people would look at that and go, that's a barrier I don't cross. Right. And so you kind of don't allow yourself to go past that barrier to even think about what that might be like. And Sunrise in chat says, because they're both father figures as well. Father figures. Words
right,
is hard.
But I would contend that Dr. Chakwas is kind of a motherly figure.
Yeah, but there's not that same kind of your direct commanding officer boundary thing going.
Yeah,
on,
yeah, right? she's parallel. She's not, you
right.
know. Yeah.
Right. And that doesn't have, like, psychologically that boundary is there, and so I think that just automatically shuts certain parts of your brain off when it comes to like romantic attraction or whatever, because you don't like, as humans, we try not to break, that's a social pact, like that's a huge social no-no in so many different types of situations, that most of the time we, you know, it's like the same side of a magnet repelling itself, you know, like you're just like, nope, yeah. No, that's not, well, even a thing, not even gonna think about it.
Not for everyone, I know.
Not for everyone, but I think for a lot of people that even if they're naturally drawn towards that, there's this like this sense of like, I shouldn't be.
Yeah, societal no-no.
Right.
So what's the difference, you know, beyond that, though, beyond the positions difference, what is the difference why it would be okay for anyone in the community to want to romance Dr. Chakwas? Just on the age note, alone, mm-hmm. Why is it okay for people, for Shepard to want to romance Dr. Chakwas, but uh-huh. not Anderson or Hackett? And I get it. It's inextricable. You can't take it out of the scenario where Anderson and Hackett are not these mentor type figures. I get
right,
that.
Right. I also think that it's probably more common simply because so much of the player base is heterosexual males. And so they're not going to be looking at somebody like Hackett as a potential love interest so much as Chakwas, right?
Well, I'd venture to guess the same thing, but I don't have the statistics on that, so I could definitely be wrong. But I would venture to guess that the plurality of the player base are heterosexual males.
For most, I mean, you look at most video games, especially these types of games, and it's still the majority of players who are heterosexual males. I don't have the specific details for Mass Effect. I bet Mass Effect has less than the average, but it's probably still the majority. That's my guess. I could be wrong, though. If somebody has the data on that and can prove me wrong, that'd be amazing. But that's
a fair point. But that's not even accounting for all of the femships who want to romance Chakwas.
Sure. Sure.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
So anyway, there's a lot to unpack there. And to many people that I've spoken with, they've never even thought about a Hackett romance.
Right. Right.
Maybe because, like this listener suggests, you know, a ton of people tend to skip through Hackett's dialogue, and he is nothing more than the Shepard, I need you to do this.
That's true. He doesn't feel as much like a character until later on in the series.
Yeah.
He's more of just a notification.
He's like, I need you to do this mission. And then later in the series, you're like, oh, you're kind of a big deal, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally get that. Well, we're going to let you guys think about this a little bit more while we go do our mid break. And we've got a planet card this week, so stay tuned for that. But we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This week, we've already did our patron callouts on the last episode. This week, we're going to, or at least this episode, since it's a two-episode week, we're going to read out one of our reviews. We got this in from Digital Urn on Apple Podcasts, who gave us 5 stars and wrote, "Love it, mate." As someone who has spent hours on the Mass Effect Wiki, this is the best show for me. I've blazed through the first 40 episodes, and I'm still constantly impressed at how deep their research goes. That's all because of that guy right there. Sam's the research guy. I do the production stuff. He's the smart one. The show is very in-depth and fun, and the music of Mass Effect episodes was one of the best episodes of a podcast I've ever listened to. Big ups to both of you for doing the show. Much love. Much love to you, Digital Urn. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate when you guys take the time to leave us a review. We'll read it out on future episodes. And even just giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify is absolutely super beneficial. It really helps people know that it's a good show and that, you know, what to listen to it for or why to listen to it and all of that. Now, Sam, you said you wanted to chime in with something here.
Yeah. I read this review, before the show, and I was really humbled. You know, anytime we ever get a review when someone's, you know, like, specifically like you mentioned about the research, because that's kind of my wheelhouse for the show.
In fact, he likes doing it so much I have to tell him to do less. That's where that's we're at here. We're like let's do 2 episodes a week, but we can just kind of do the same. We'll just divide up the episodes a little bit in different ways, whatever. And he ends up doing like twice as much research, and I'm like, that wasn't really the plan, but I'm not trying to work you to death, buddy, but I know that you enjoy it, and so it's kind of a labor of love too.
Yeah, definitely. It's a passion. And so when I hear from someone that says that they like to read the Mass Effect Wiki for fun, and this person is complimenting my research, that's really touching. So I appreciate that. We do see these reviews. It does matter to me a great deal. As I've said in previous episodes, my day job, I get a lot of negative feedback, not from coworkers, it's just kind of the nature of journalism. Yeah. So words like this help keep me going. So I hope you know how much it means.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. Now you also have a planet card here.
I do. So I was playing, I'm streaming Mass Effect every Saturday. And I'm playing some side missions outside of the stream. And when I'm playing outside of the stream, I get a lot of time to read planet cards, because although I like reading the lore bits and I like diving into it and taking my time, not exactly great and compelling content for a stream. So I tend to do these things off stream. But I saw this one, and this one stood out to me. It's called Afras. Here's the planet card's description. Ophrys, a unique discovery. Ophrys is a, quote, heavenly twin, a planet in a star system that has not one but two worlds of sufficient mass to retain a nitrogen-oxygen atmosphere within the habitable life zone of its parent star. Fossil evidence shows abundant vertebrates and evidence of a sapient terrestrial avian species in its Bronze Age. Interesting. Huh. Sounds like Turians, yeah, almost,
like
the, right?
Like an early Turian society.
Yeah. However, the only trace of contemporary life on the planet is that of a single-celled organism in its seas. All else has suffered from an extinction-level event, a series of massive impacts that vaporized vast quantities of water and lofted dust into its atmosphere. Early theories that this event was a collision with a fragmenting asteroid have now been discounted. The impact craters were aimed directly at habitation centers.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
There's some shenanigans going on there.
So they got targeted.
Yeah.
That's what that means. They were targeted by something.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Reapers. You know, my first thought is Reapers.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah. It could be any. I mean, throwing rocks at planets is a viable means of attacking another civilization. And in some ways, it's actually easier than creating your own warheads and that kind of thing.
Right. And in fact, you know, this was probably not Reapers, because it says that this terrestrial avian species was in its Bronze Age.
Yeah.
The Reapers famously didn't target species that were not advanced.
Right. Also, why would anybody be targeting, you know, people in the bronze? And like, they're not going to be a threat to you for many generations.
Right, right. So really interesting. I would have loved to know what happened there. And I'm sure that they're leaving it open-ended because maybe they'll come back and elaborate later. But
right.
Just saw this planet card when I was exploring the other day, and I thought I got to share it.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, who knows? Maybe Ophrys will show back up in the future with a little bit more backstory. Well, thanks, everybody, for your support. We really do appreciate it. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so I feel like you might have a little bit more here about this whole potential romance with Hackett thing.
Yes, yeah. So, according to this listener, it goes beyond the subtleties and dialogue of how much Hackett seems to care. Fimshep apparently fixes her hair, or sheepishly, the direct wordage, verbiage that the listener used was coquettishly, twirls her hair while talking to Hackett on occasion. I can't comment on that because, again, I haven't really seen Fimshep.
I don't know.
Do you remember that?
Also, it would be weird then that Hackett is giving like eyes and looks to male Shepherd, but Fem Shepherd is now reacting in a romantic way. Like, why not to both then?
Right. And I think this listener was saying that the way that Hackett even looks at Shepard changes based off of Fem Shep, right, or male Shep.
So Hackett's into only male Shep, but Fem Shep's into Hackett? Is that like, there's like a...
No, I meant the opposite. I meant that Hackett is apparently, you know, giving eyes to only Fem Shep.
Oh, but, okay. Know. Okay. I thought you were saying male Shep. Okay. I gotcha.
That would be hilarious. I've played male Shep. So
it can
I
go
can
either way.
That.
Like, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, hetero gay romance stuff in the game. Like,
sure.
It could go however. So I wasn't going to discount that as a possibility. Okay. So he's giving eyes to Fem Shep, and Fem Shep is twirling her hair.
Right. Reciprocating kinds of flirting emotes.
Of, right.
According to this listener, anyway. And this listener also says that Hackett glances at her boobs.
I mean, just if a character's eyes happen to move downward, you could say that that's a thing, but also people's eyes wander, you know, like, and it's hard to tell because oftentimes you see like one face and then you see the other face, right? So it's hard to know.
Right, right. So here's the exact quote from the listener. You know, to be fair, you know, the glance at Shepard's boobs is quick and neutral, but still, she fixes her hair before him. And the listener says, damn, I laughed at that. And I think it's after Novaria slash the Cerberus fighting base. I'm not sure when exactly that is when they're talking about. But and again, I can't comment on this, but it's definitely something I'm going to be looking for now in my FimShep playthrough.
But it might just be like people with longer hair constantly have to fix their hair because the hair gets right in the way or it moves and they're like, oh, okay, fix my hair. I'm going to keep talking.
Right.
Like I could see both sides of this. Yeah.
And I know male Shep, he like scratches his head or something. He's like, yeah, that's what he does. That's the gesture that male Shep does. I don't remember ever seeing Hackett glance at Shepard's boobs. Yeah.
And people again look different directions when they're thinking while they're talking. Like I just did right there as I was gesturing with my hand, I looked downward. Had somebody been standing in front of me, they might've thought I looked at their boobs.
Excuse me, sir. Are you looking at my chest?
I'm looking at Sam's chest right now.
My eyes are up here.
Right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. What else do we have? We have any other evidence here?
Yeah, I see Genesis here in chat says, I also want to go on record and say, I am not the listener before my DMs blow up.
Right.
Genesis is one of the hosts of the Two Girls, One Ship podcast. No, Genesis is not the listener, but I am, I'm leaving the name out, so as to not embarrass anyone. But what is the, you know, we talked a little bit about it before, but like even assuming that Shepard and Hackett want to be in a romance, you know, a romance, romantic relationship together, what's the viability of that even like with Alliance Protocol? I mean, they see each other in person twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Lots of intercom time.
Hey, you need me to go on another mission for you?
Hey, thanks for piping in here with a new update on our mission, Hackett, but I think I'm going to take this one in my quarters.
My private quarters. Yeah. They're just having a lot of,
can we talk about this one privately, Hackett? I have some questions about our mission.
Saucy VidCom calls over the extranet. Oh God. what are you wearing? Armor.
10 millimeters of plate armor.
That hot. Stupid fucking visor.
Hot.
The Delamcore overlay visor. Yeah. Don't worry about it. What are you wearing? Dress blues.
Sweet. I thought maybe.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I don't know. I mean, we've been talking about this for a little while. What do you think, Tom? Would you say this is a possibility, or do you think this is looking too far into things?
I mean, chances are, Occam's razor, this is not a thing, right? Otherwise, they would make it more explicit. But to play the other side and say, well, sometimes people just enjoy flirting without any real intention of anything happening, that could be a thing, right? Sometimes there's just, sometimes you give signals, even subconsciously, just because you enjoy giving signals and getting signals back, and it just makes you feel good.
I mean, I personally, I don't think the game's writers intended for this to be a thing. Like, I don't think that they were even flirting. Sure. I could be wrong.
Right.
Again, I haven't gotten to this point in the story with FimShep where she's talking to Hackett in person or even over VidCom that much. I don't think it was intended, but I think this could just be a thing that, like, if you want it to be a thing, you can make it a thing. Maybe you're looking into it a lot. But I guess I'll leave it there.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the fun of these games is just like the whole romance aspect. But, you know, I didn't expect that we'd be talking about romances yet in the series, but I didn't expect especially to be starting with Hackett. You know, I mean, there's a lot of other characters that get a lot of romance time and much more popular when it comes to that. But
oh God, yeah. And you know, on the note of there being now three Hackett episodes, I think going forward, you know, talking about those characters with the romances, there are going to be romances or characters who we cover who are actually romanceable in the game. And it could be a good idea to save talking about that aspect of their development for a smaller bonus episode on top of the normal lore we actually cover. So if we're giving a character one episode of straight lore, mm-hmm. have a bonus episode just about their romance, where we can go into it, not too much in depth, not exhaustive or anything like that. If anyone wants an exhaustive, like really comprehensive type of coverage on the romance, again, I'd refer them over to the Two Girls One Ship podcast. Yeah,
there's a whole other show for that, but it is a key component of the games. It's one of the things that attracts a lot of people to the games, is that that's part of role playing a character. It's part of life, and being able to do that with your characters would make sense.
Yeah, and just some housekeeping. I mentioned several weeks ago that we would intersperse these character episodes with topical ones. And I'm thinking we might start doing that next week. Okay. We've been doing these character episodes, and I don't want to burn us out on too many profile features back to back to back. And,
so where are we going?
I'm thinking next week we're going to go somewhere a little bit more mechanical, a little bit more scientific. We're going to be talking about not just the Alliance Navy's command structure and the different fleets. There's 8 different fleets. But more importantly, we're going to be talking about its crown jewel, the SSV Normandy.
Sounds awesome. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Sam, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
Yeah, I mentioned on the last episode that I revitalized my stream with some new themes, new Mass Effect spacey themes, mm-hmm. new sub badges, and most importantly, the new awesome Mass Effect inspired music written by the one and only Pipe Man, who was on the Music of Mass Effect episode. But I also started a new Dragon Age playthrough. Nice. My first playthrough of Dragon Age ever. I'm not sure if you saw this, but I just posted to like Twitter about it before my stream that day. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to start my first Dragon Age playthrough in about an hour, any advice? And holy shit, did that blow up. That was like, I think the cinematic, I don't know if he was a cinematic designer or director for Dragon Age, mm-hmm. but he worked on the cinematography for Dragon Age and Mass Effect. He commented on that.
Oh, wow.
And he also was a cinematic director for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
So I might reach out to him and say, hey, we've got some questions if you'd like to talk with us. But yeah, that was fun. No, but it blew up. And then like during my stream that day, holy crap, like there's so many people that showed up. So mm-hmm. I know that my point is, I know there's a lot of crossover in the fandom between Mass Effect and Dragon Age. So if you'd like to see a Dragon Age stream, I am streaming that on Thursdays, and I'm continuing my Sassy Shepherd Saturdays, and Miscellaneous Mondays is a whole slew of fun miscellaneous games that I'm playing. And if you'd like to watch any of that, you can catch me at N7 The Legend on Twitch, same handle on Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, go check that stuff out. And my channel is the Robots Radio channel on Twitch and YouTube and Facebook. It's where we stream these live on Monday nights. So come join us, usually around 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And I also do some other streams around, whenever I get a chance during the week, playing some games, hanging out, been writing music, been doing a whole music thing, released some lo-fi beats up on Bandcamp under Robots Radio. I think if you search it, it probably comes up at this point. Tinkering with some stuff. I'm also trying to put together some shoegaze dream pop style, like rock music, like alternative rock music, which totally goes back to my roots and has me playing with a bunch of guitar like pedals and stuff again, which is super fun. But come hang out with us. In both of our streams, we'd love to have you. Otherwise, you can check out all the other shows at robotsradio.net. And, I do a bunch of shows about a bunch of other lore things. So go check that out. And there's all sorts of other shows on the network. So go check those out as well. That's what we got for this week. We'll see you guys again next time. Thanks for being here, everybody. Stay safe out there. Later.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.